Hey there. Welcome to the Entrepreneur Experiment Podcast with me, Gary Fox. And welcome to the first mentor moment of season 16. And today we've got an incredible one. This is with Matthew Coffey, the co-founder of Squid Loyalty. Alongside Katie, he set up Squid a couple of years ago, and he was actually the rising star. I think this was around episode 215. So go back and listen to the full one if you like this. Today, we talk about simplicity. We talk about how do you boil your idea down to its simplest form and carve out a niche in what can be a massive market. No matter what industry you're going into, it can be really daunting, and picking a micro niche and then carving your space out is often the best way to start. We explore how exactly they did that. This is your mentor moment with Matthew Coffey, the co-founder of Squid. First, quick thank you to my partners for season 16. I've got a massive ambition for this podcast. I want to make this the number one business podcast in the world. If I'm going to do that, I've got to be world-class on every single level. And that includes having a world-class studio, which I now have at iconic offices, The Green Room. It's an incredible space. I first recorded here with my live pod back in June, and I loved it. And get this, it's publicly bookable. That means you can go online and book it right now. As I said, it's called The Green Room. It's a private cinema and screening room. That means it's perfect to wow a client with a pitch, host a private screening, or do what I do, record a podcast here. So, as I record here, and as you know, I'm a member of Iconic Offices, I've got the team at Iconic Offices to hook us up with a number of exclusive complimentary office trials and discounts for my audience for booking this exact space. No catches. Simply go to the web link in the description, grab the offer that works best for you. Thanks, Iconic Offices. I'm building much more than a podcast with the Entrepreneur Experiment, and have a very clear vision of what I'm trying to achieve. One of those goals was to get involved in funding Irish businesses, and I've just achieved that goal. I've joined the Quintus Capital team as a special advisor to the EIIS Innovation Fund. I spent the last couple of years getting to know the team, learning about the industry, and the time has come to join forces. The EIIS Innovation Fund has invested in several of the podcast guests you know and love already, such as Matthew and Katie from Squid, and Peggy Crowley of Brown Wellbeing, which has made the decision to join the fund a really, really simple one. EIIS Tax Relief provides significant tax refunds to investors who back Irish SMEs. However, the main issue with EIS is finding the right companies to invest in. This is where the EIS Innovation Fund comes in. It has an experienced management team to allocate your capital. They're now raising capital for November and December to deploy in 2024. If you are interested in becoming an investor, please visit EIIS.fund, so EIIS.fund, or download a copy of the online brochure in the show notes. Ever find yourself jumping from task to task? Sudden eureka moments at the weirdest hours, and you forget little details? Does that sound familiar? That might be ADHD, and ADHD Now are here to help. Their experienced clinical professionals conduct video consultations at your schedule and help you manage and understand these symptoms, turning them into your unique assets. Visit adhdnow.ie/fox and use the code FOX10 at checkout for 10% discount on your initial consultation and full assessment. Everyone is always trying to figure out the moment. What was the moment when, oh yeah, we're going to start the business? And I think people overthink it. But how did you and Katie come up with this initially? Like, were you always planning to start a business together, or what was the genesis?
The big moment for us was when, me and Katie met in college basically. And the big moment I think was when we went on Erasmus. And it was that sort of like change in thinking of, we've spent all our time in Ireland. And, yeah, you know, we had a very kind of Irish-centric sort of outlook on the world. And then all of a sudden we were in Berkeley in California. And the first thing that would strike you if you go there is tech, just everywhere. There's so much innovation. There's so much kind of stuff going on. Like I remember one day kind of walking down the street and there's a little robot with a cup of coffee on it beside you, if you know what I mean. But people don't look at it twice. It's just sort of normal. It's just there's someone figuring something out, if you know what I mean. And I suppose it was there again that we kind of had the more confidence. I think a lot of it in the beginning is a confidence lift, as to kind of like getting to a stage basically where you sort of think, like, what if not me, then who, if you know what I mean, basically kind of stuff. And just again, just thinking of it again and again and sort of saying, like, this is so, so obvious. How is this not a big thing? And then coming back to Ireland, and then basically we wrapped up in college, and we were on this scholarship thing together in college. And so me and Katie would literally work on everything together through college. So we had this recipe of working together, and we knew it worked, kind of stuff. So the idea of working together and starting something together just seemed a really obvious step. But then it was Katie. So I suppose I was probably more driving on the kind of like, this is so obvious, we should go and do this. But Katie, I think Katie's incredibly intelligent. And the main thing that she spotted was like, it's all to do with the interaction. The interaction is broken, basically. So let's just make it so that it's really, really, really simple. And so she came up with this idea of like the tapping, basically, the kind of the idea of just we'll make everything one tap. And then even that sort of like, you know, in fairness to Katie, what I think is quite a simple like deployment. We just use a sticker, basically. So it's an NFC sticker. It's the same as in tap technology. And through that, it just kind of works out. Okay, this is I'm supposed to be at this counter. I'm this tag for this given business. But then on the back end of that, you can just keep adding and adding and adding more stuff. You know, then we needed. Again, it was in Katie's kitchen that she just had one of those kind of glass jars, and it had a cork kind of cap on top of it. And she went, something like this would be pretty handy. So then we just started ordering, you know, now we have thousands of them coming in. We have this place in Italy that supplies us with just loads of these things. We probably completely changed their thing, you know.
They're like, who are these guys in Ireland making all these jars?
They're just obsessed with water. Exactly. Yeah. So
I love that story though, because it just shows incredible clarity of thought to go, okay, this is a problem. Step one, step two, step three, step four. These are all the steps we're going to take. You broke it down to the very core steps, because that's the big issue. How do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? It's how do you tackle a global massive problem?
And I think that has been definitely a kind of a learning for us as well, is that as soon as we launched and we started getting going, you start to get all this interest basically from different companies, which again, when we were kind of, you know, early and young founders, definitely is distracting. So you get huge behemoth kind of payment companies, your Googles, your food ordering companies, tipping companies, you know, you name it, basically, they've all gotten on and they're like, I've seen that thing, if you know what I mean. What are you thinking? What are your thoughts on this sort of stuff? And so it's all just kind of bright lights, if you know what I mean, that you kind of what if we went this way? So there's definitely been a lot of learning and kind of discipline into like trying to keep that, exactly what you're saying, that focus on like what we do is basically we make it simpler to engage in loyalty schemes. So let's just keep on rolling that out. And we started with coffee, but now we're in a kind of a different phase, I suppose, now that we've taken on a new CTO, basically, who's come in. And so now we're going to start serving all retail types. So we're going to go after, you know, basically everything, absolutely every different business. But it was coffee was the entry point, I suppose, for us. And we're going after that into different markets. But then we can move up the retail ladder, basically, into different
things. I love that. You started with a very clear, identifiable niche. And coffee is one of those. Definitely for me, it's a habit. Every day, you're going to get that coffee. And I think if you're baking squid into that, that's an incredibly smart place to start.
I suppose that's our thinking, basically, is that for such a kind of an emergent market like coffee's, I was talking to a guy and I thought he nailed it on the head, that coffee is the new wine. So like, you know, whereas like a generation ago people were wine snobs, basically, if you know what I mean, they knew everything to do with wine. Now people know everything to do with coffee and they're really picky on what coffee they like and what they don't and that sort of stuff. But again, I was kind of amazed at just like coffee is a wildly underserved market from a tech perspective. So there's loads of different businesses building stuff for restaurants and the likes. That area is just so cluttered.
That's a fair point, actually. Yeah, when you think about it like that. Yeah.
So again, it was kind of that thinking of like, how do you dip your toes into this big pool? If you know what I mean. Like the thinking basically has been, well, let's go after coffee. That's where you lay the foundations. But the logic has always been, listen, the same people who drink coffee, they also shop in clothes shops, they shop in supermarkets, they shop in petrol, they shop in all this kind of stuff. So, you know, if we basically can be an attractive solution to a coffee drinker, well, then that basically, you start getting the attention of the bigger brands. And like we have basically proven that in Ireland and in UK and the rest, that we've had the bigger chains in different areas come on to us and say, can I have this for my petrol? Can I have it for my supermarket? Can I have it, you know, for all these different areas?
Why do they want it, to ask the obvious question?
The simple answer is the engagement rate, basically. So people use Squid more often than they use other loyalty schemes. The reason, again, that we think that is basically it's very easy to use. So, you know, again, from in really, really simple terms, if you're a retail business and you're thinking, okay, any retail business is in a highly competitive market by nature. So like, what's stopping another clothes shop from opening up? Absolutely nothing. What's stopping another coffee shop from nothing, if you know what I mean? So they're all competing for footfall, basically. Again, you know, to compare something like tech and retail, the realistic problem for a retail business is you're not, if you're located in Dublin, let's say, like, you're not trying to attract different customers from London or from afar, basically, in the same way that a tech business would be trying to expand. It's who's there. It's who's around you, basically. And again, it's all predicated on them coming back. So that thing again of basically, if we can help, like, they, in fairness, we don't do the sign up and we don't do the loyalty part. That's the business themselves, is that they've basically gone, we're happy to do a loyalty scheme. We're happy to reward people who come back more often, basically. So that they've already established that. We just make it easier for people to interact and engage with that. But then when that works, there's, you know, I mean, a bit of a cliche again there, but there's loads of stats out there as to the power and the impact of loyalty. Again, in just simple terms, like, imagine if everyone was buying twice as often, what that would do to your bottom line. It would just double. But you don't have to do all this mad outreach. You don't have to do all this mad marketing. It's very focused, kind of just like, you've been here before, come back. And so I suppose that's one of the kind of the small add-ons that we've been doing, is sort of the working on this marketing part. But again, like, what we're really trying to get is that sort of very human feel, I think, for, like, when we got started in the beginning, another big learning for me and Katie was the sheer level of passion that is in every retail business that we were talking to. And, you know, before starting Squid, we would just walk past what were shop fronts to us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But then you'd go in and you'd talk to them, and they just, like, again, it's just gushing passion, basically, as to, like, you wouldn't believe the amount we had to do to find the branding we did, you know, with this person or that person. And we just traveled the world, and, like, to get this type of coffee, it took us this long, and we were refining and refining. And then what we started noticing is, after you hear that, and there's a couple of, like, specifically, I suppose, there's a place called Bujo Burger.
Yeah, the blue place.
Yeah, and I remember going in and talking to the guy who set it up, and after I walked out, I was obsessed with the place. I was
savage food, though, to be fair.
Exactly, but I mean, I was telling everyone about, like, you wouldn't believe what they did to get this burger right, if you know what I mean. And, like, the all kind of stuff that you wouldn't see in the background. Like, they were doing all this sort of carbon capture out the back, but, like, properly doing it, if you know what I mean. And so you started to realize that basically the loyalty and couponing get conflated a lot, I think. And, like, if I was to ask you or anyone on the street, like, what's your favorite business, what's your favorite restaurant, pub, whatever it is, it's nothing to do with, like, oh, because they give 10% off, or basically they've cut their prices.
Yeah.
It's all to do with an emotional thing. So, like, sorry, that was a long-winded way back to the kind of marketing side that we're looking at building, is that we kind of just want to sit in the middle but enable, basically, businesses to talk to consumers. But we don't want to get in on it.
If you enjoyed that mentor moment with Matthew, it is number 215. Go back and listen to the full episode. I will see you back here in a couple of days for a brand new Idea Lab. Have a great week.